From 94.9 KUOW Seattle, I'm Marcy Silman. They say that if at first you don't succeed, try again. And when it comes to creating a professional women's soccer league in this country, fans and sponsors hope the third time is going to be the charm. The National Women's Soccer League, NWSL, debuted this year. Seattle area fans hope the local team, the Reign FC, will become the kind of draw that the Sounders have been on the men's side of soccer. One of the big names on the Reign roster, former national team and Olympic team player Megan Rapinoe, who is in our studios today. It's a great honor to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
You actually joined the team after the season was in progress because you've been playing in France.
I have, yeah. I came in about halfway through the season, just got off my season in France. I played a half a season there, came right in and kind of fit in with the team right away.
It's Lyon, France, that you were playing in.
Yep.
How long were you there?
I was there from January until June, so about 6 months.
And is that their, do they have 6 month seasons, or was the intent that you were going to stay there, but then this came up and you came here?
I came mid season for them. So their season really is 10 months long, goes from September, beginning of September to the end of June. And that was the duration of my contract just until then. So I finished up my duties there and then got back to our domestic league.
You're done in France.
I don't know if I'm done, but you're done for the season.
Well, what enticed you to Seattle to play for the Reign?
I'm from Northern California originally, but I went to school in Portland and from the Northwest. So obviously to keep here, I think this is the best coast, and I think this is the best area of the country. This is obviously where I choose to live, but I played here a little bit last year during the summer. Just the atmosphere up here. I think in Portland and Seattle, some of the best football atmospheres that we have in the country. It just seems sort of organic within the people and within kind of the society. And it's cool to have that and to really have that football experience that you would have in Europe.
Hmm. You've been playing since you were a small child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's been almost 23 years now, which makes me feel very old.
When did you know you were good?
When I know I was good, I think later on in high school, I think I was a late bloomer. I'm a twin, and my sister was always much better than me. I was always pretty like small and scrawny. But I think sort of midway through high school, I started getting called into the national team, and I think then I was kind of like, oh, okay, maybe I can do this. You know, I think before then it was just something that I loved to do, and something that we both loved to do. But then it was kind of this could potentially be something more serious.
You know, it seems that female athletes, high school, and the path is college for most of you because mm-hmm. it's not like guys who are great at sports in high school
right.
that there's a clear professional path. So when you realized you were good, when you started getting tapped by the national team, what were you imagining would be your future athletically?
First, just to go to college. I'm from, you know, pretty humble family in Reading and didn't have a ton of money growing up. So to be able to go to college and have that paid for it and get a scholarship, that was huge. I think once I got into college, I kind of started realizing there might be a professional future and something that you could actually make a living for. But I think before that, it was just like, oh my God, we're going to go to college. And, you know, we get to have that experience and to go relatively close to home, which was nice.
So you and your sister went together?
We did. Yeah. We went together to University of Portland.
And you both played soccer there?
Both played soccer. Yeah.
And is she playing now still?
She's done now. Yeah, she's done now. She played professionally a little bit after college, but she hung the boots up.
And is she happier for that?
She is. She is happier. She liked it, but didn't love it.
So for female collegiate athletes, what happens next if you're good? Because we've watched, as I mentioned introducing you, there have been many efforts to try to start professional leagues in soccer. There is a professional basketball league at this point, but financially, it's not the same avenue that if you're a guy who plays, for example, for the University of Washington, you get drafted. We're looking at really different kinds of lifestyles.
Right.
So what options face you? Did somebody sit you down and say, Megan, if you really want to do this, here's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah. When I came out, I was lucky. I was sort of in the time period. The last league, WPS, was just starting up. So I was able to come right out of college and play. And that's the option now. We have this league. And I really do think that it's sustainable. We have, you know, kind of collaborative efforts between the Canadian, the Mexican, and the U.S. federations backing that. And I think that they have a very strong vested interest in that.
So essentially what they're doing is each of those federations is putting in money to pay the salaries of a group of players that are part of the pot of players, right?
Right, yeah. Those federations are sending the players that they want to play in the league and essentially paying those salaries so the burden doesn't fall on the clubs.
How does it work in France, for example?
In France, it's every club is just its own entity. So our club is just under the umbrella of the overall Olympique Lyonnais club, and we're in tight conjunction with the men as well.
Is it more popular, women's soccer, than it is here?
No, I don't think women's soccer is more popular in France than it is here. The team I play on in Lyon is very popular, and it's one of the best club teams in France. So in that aspect, it's very popular. But still, I think the popularity here with the success of the national team in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years has just been insane. I was on it before the World Cup, and just to see sort of the meteoric rise of not only the team, but interest in women's soccer has just been unbelievable.
When I ask people about you, and we're talking with Megan Rapinoe, who is a midfielder, I believe,
yes,
that is your position. When I ask people about you, you know, what's your greatest thought about this soccer player? They talk about the semifinal against Brazil in the 2011 World Cup. You set up a header that Abby Wambach scored on, but I want you to talk about that because this is in, like, I think the second overtime, if I'm right about that.
Yes, the whole game was quite crazy. Hot day in Dresden, I'll set the scene. We had gotten a red card like in the 50th minute or the 55th minute, so we played down a player for the majority of the game. Ended up being we played down longer than we played with the full squad. Double overtime, a penalty that Hope saved and ended up getting called back.
They Hope Solo we're talking about.
Yep, yeah, Hope Solo. And it was literally the dying moments of the game. I think the only reason there was extra time added on is because one of their players went down with a phantom injury. And I think the rep, and she subsequently sprinted back on the field. So I think she was fine. But yeah, won it in our end. The whole team traveled the ball up, and then I would love to say that it was completely intentional and I saw Abby running, but I didn't. It was just like the dying moments. We're about to be exited from the World Cup. I think the earliest that we had ever been, and I just had to get something on it, and Abby does what she does best and scores the biggest goals in
the
world.
So you were hoping that she would get this ball?
Yeah, very much so, hoping. I didn't know that she was there specifically, but she's always in there. So I knew she was going to be just around the general vicinity and just try to get something on it. If she doesn't score on that, I think the whistle's blown and probably not sitting here.
Huh. How many World Cups have you played in?
Just one.
Just that one.
Just one, yeah.
Are I'm assuming we'll play in 2015.
I am hoping.
Body willing.
Body willing and with the blessings of our coach, Tommy.
Who are other teams, I guess, other countries? I mentioned Brazil. I think Japan has a reputation as a really strong team. But but who are the Americans, the major challengers to the U.S. team?
I think it's becoming much more these days. I think, you know, in the past maybe 10 years, it's sort of been the usual suspects. Germany's always very strong. France has sort of surged in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years. I think that league there has really helped their national team. Japan, always. Sweden. Brazil is always in the mix. I think those are sort of the top, you know, top 4 or 5 teams in the world.
Where do you rank the Americans objectively, if you can?
Objectively? I think we've earned the spot that we have now, which I think is number one. I think that we've sort of proven that we can be there, but also stay there and stay consistent. I think, you know, with the new coach, we've made a lot of changes and there's been a lot of different lineups, but we still kind of kept that fighting spirit and kept the level that we hold to ourselves.
How does the U.S. style of play differ from some of those more traditional powerhouses?
I think historically, we've been a bit more physical. We've kind of relied on our physical strength in sort of our athleticism. But I think now we're beginning to couple that with some really, really crafty and technical play and kind of tactically breaking down teams as well. But we still have that sort of undying American spirit. We're very, very hard to beat. And I think that's something that other countries know. And we know how to win. And if you beat us, you're going to have to earn it. And I think that that's something that we still have over a lot of countries.
We're talking with Seattle Reign footballer Megan Rapinoe. Footballer is the word,
the,
right?
The proper term, footballer.
And there's a great profile of you in the New York Times several months ago talking about when you arrived in Lyon to play with your new team. And one of the comments they said about you was that you were smaller. You just talked about Americans' athleticism. In fact, you're not huge. You know, you don't look like some, you know, giant Amazon when you walk in the door. Is that what the reputation of the U.S. is sort of like big girls with big muscles?
Yeah, I think I know they think that we're a lot bigger than we actually are. I'm actually taller than quite a few of the players on the team.
Really?
I'm taller than most of the players in the back line, which I just found out recently. I was like, no way I'm taller than you. But I think that we're tough and we are strong and we're not afraid to get into tackles and to sort of play that physical style. And I think that, I guess we have that big presence, which is intimidating and a good thing.
You were recruited out of the 2012 Olympics to this team in France, right?
I mean, think so, yeah.
I mean, recruited might not be the right word.
No, but I think that's fair. I think that the coaches, I think maybe they saw me a little bit the year before, but definitely in the Olympics. I would say that's the best that I've ever played. So it's
well, and you guys did well. What was it, the idea of living in France that was attractive, or was it that we were sort of in a lull between professional leagues in this country?
I think it was sort of perfect storm of everything. We were sort of in a lull. I knew that the league was starting back up, but not until April or May that we would be able to start games. The idea of living overseas has always been something that's very enticing to me. I was hoping to learn some French, which I learned a little bit, but I'm not sure if it's even correct. And then obviously getting to couple that whole experience and that whole, I guess, lifestyle with playing with one of the best clubs in the world and challenging myself that way. It was sort of the perfect storm of goodness for me.
It's not a secret that you are an out lesbian.
Isn't it?
I'm sorry.
No.
Did I just spill the beans?
No.
From what I've heard, mostly your fan base has been pretty accepting of that. Was that true in Europe as well?
Yeah, it was. I think for women, it's much different. The climate is much different than for men in Europe and really all over the world. But yeah, unless I'm just blind negativity, I really haven't seen or heard or felt kind of any sort of anti-gay or negative feelings about it.
Do you feel any pressure to be sort of a spokeswoman or some kind of role model that you might not feel if you were more private about your personal life?
Maybe. I don't see it as pressure in a negative way. I think it's a good thing. I mean, I think that, you know, even just in the last year, we've had Robbie Rogers come out. We've had Jason Collins come out. I've come out in the last year. I think it's a great thing. Obviously, with the SCOTUS decisions lately, I feel like these tides are turning and these, I guess, these sort of bigoted walls are falling down. And it's really cool to be a part of. And I'm proud that I am who I am, and I'm proud to be gay. It's not the only part of me, but I'm proud to be able to have the platform that I do and to be able to, you know, hopefully, I guess, change things for the better.
You're living in a state where gay marriage is legal.
Yeah, I am.
Does that entice you to stay here?
In a way, yes, but I feel pretty soon that all states will be legal. I'm not ready to be married yet.
You still got some footballing to do.
Time, yeah.
Megan Rapinoe's with us, and she's playing with Seattle Reign FC, which is in its infancy. But as I mentioned, this is the third time around. You talked about the support from various soccer federations around the world. How confident are you this time that the league can make it beyond a couple seasons?
I'm really confident. I think much more confident than the last leagues. The last leagues, the federations weren't involved. And I think this time the federations understand how important it is to to have their players playing year-round, first of all, and to have a league here in the U.S. when the popularity of soccer here is growing so rapidly.
Do you think that there are any kind of sort of social or cultural changes that need to take place in the U.S. to make women's soccer, I guess any women's professional sport, a more viable and sort of more mainstream than it is?
I think a little bit, but I think with the popularity of the national team, we're getting 25,000+. We sold out Wembley in England for the Olympics and, in the World Cup in Germany before the stadiums were packed. So I think that people just need to know that it exists and have the ability to find out when the games are, because I think people really do genuinely enjoy watching women's soccer. And just as the culture of soccer grows in the U.S. as it is, we're a little bit spoiled here in the Northwest with the Sounders and the Timbers. They've just absolutely smashed the MLS. It's been brilliant. So I think, as that grows as well, then we'll just follow right up with that.
There are a bunch of little girls that come to all your games?
Yeah, little girls, tons of them. Little boys.
Some.
Men, women. It seems it sort of crosses a lot of different paths with people.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me on.